Hello and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon and I have Josh and Ellen back in the studio with me for day two of our science article. Welcome back, panelists.
Thank you.
Great to be here, Brandon. I think I'm smarter today.
I was about to ask you all that. Do you feel smarter because of our discussion yesterday?
I do.
Do you remember any of it, Ellen?
Just six cards.
Yes, we left off yesterday talking about the playing cards and how Todd Sampson, who is in this show, he is the host of Hack My Brain. He's doing all this training. He was able to learn, memorize 52 cards in under 10 minutes. But before he did all the training, he could only remember six cards. And So that's kind of a bit of a recap of what we talked about yesterday. But we also talked about brain plasticity, right, Josh?
That's right. We learned that it has a few different components to it. This idea of any person at any age can improve their memory, which is something we all would like to do. Reverse mental aging, which is something on the top of my brain right now, and become smarter overall.
Yeah, when we think of brain plasticity, we might think of just stretching your brain or your brain being remodeled. It's able to change, which is good news. We often think that when we get older, well, we will just, you know, decline. Our memory will decline, and that happens a lot of times, but we can do something to fight against that. Okay, so that is interesting news, and it's very practical because, as we saw yesterday, Todd Sampson, this host, did this training and he saw results. And it's interesting to look at studies. That's great, but we want to see results. And so That's where we are at, and we can open our magazines to page 31. We're on day two of our science article. And panelists, we're asking this question, can you make yourself smarter? Have you ever made a concerted effort, made an effort to really do that? You thought, I need to make myself smarter. What can I do? And you tried it out. Ellen?
Well, I never did anything like Todd here has done, but, you know, my one goal every day is to do some, you know, very focused reading. So maybe it's reading the news or reading a novel, just to make sure that some information every day is kind of getting into my brain. That's, you know, I can't say that I've gotten that much smarter from doing that, but that is my way of hopefully not deteriorating quite as quickly.
Keeping your brain active, right?
Right,
and that's
exactly
why it's good to read things like Advance Magazine. You're learning new things and keeping your brain sharp, right?
Exactly.
I tried and failed. I tried last year to study Chinese again, something I have ignored for many years, and I just found my brain wasn't in the same kind of place it was 15 years ago when I studied Chinese, and it felt like I retained vocabulary easier back then and remembered tones easier, and wow, it was so much harder this time around.
Wow.
So I gave up.
That's discouraging. The listeners, don't give up. You can do it. That is difficult. Of course, we've always heard the older you get, the more difficult it becomes to learn a language, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why it's important to start young. But it's not impossible.
Definitely.
Right? It just takes maybe a bit more effort.
And I'm willing to try again. I haven't given up forever. And I think it's important to notice that or mention that the benefits of keeping sharp and, staying, reading and, learning and growing will supposedly have benefits in the long term, too, right? In terms of avoiding dementia or Alzheimer's.
Yes, and we're actually going to talk about that today, Josh, later today, which that is also something that makes us pay attention, because a lot of people have problems with dementia or Alzheimer's. So if we can do things to kind of put that off, and increase our chances of fighting against that and so forth.
I'd like to put it off forever.
Yes. Yes. Well, I don't know if that's possible, but even if we can delay it for several years, that's good news, right?
Sure.
Okay. So we also are going to look at some techniques that Todd used. For example, our first question today says, why is juggling so good for the brain? And let's go ahead and find out in our first reading.
Why is juggling so good for the brain? How difficult was it to learn? Juggling is great for the brain because it is a complex, multi-object tracking brain activity that anyone can do. It focuses your mind, increases your brain speed, sharpens your vision, and tests your sense of balance. For added fun, try juggling on one foot, then with your eyes closed. It's great fitness for the brain.
All right, so we asked the question about juggling. What is juggling, Josh?
Juggling is putting many objects in the air, and usually more than two, right? And you're
yes.
throwing balls or bananas or whatever it is up in the air, and you have one that's moving from one hand to the other, and two of them are in your hand. Or is it one or two in the air at the same time?
Something like that, yeah. Maybe a couple of things in there. I think I can juggle one or two objects. I can probably handle that. So
just I'm not sure if that's juggling. But it's also a term we use figuratively, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's right. Yes, we have many things to do. You use that term juggling. You just think of many objects in this case, but you can have many things to do in a day, and you have to, have to juggle many things. And so you can be very busy, in other words. Well, juggling is not easy, and so it takes extreme focus. And so they also ask, how difficult was it to learn, and what does Todd say?
Well, Todd says that juggling is great for the brain because it is a complex multi-object tracking brain activity. So, Josh mentioned before, there's a lot of things going on when you're juggling, and so it takes a lot of focus. You need to really be on top of where all these objects are, so it makes your brain really work.
Right, so it's complex, there are many things mm-hmm. involved, many objects involved, but I like the four words he adds after the word activities, says that anyone can do, and so that encourages us that we can do it too. And, I guess we probably know that, but it just looks hard. I think, how can I juggle? Why should I juggle? But we see that it actually helps you to focus your mind.
That's right. It says it increases your brain speed, sharpens your vision, and tests your sense of balance.
Okay, panelists, right after the show, we need to juggle.
You know who can teach us? Teacher Hazel.
That's right.
Oh, yes.
She's quite a juggler.
That's right. We need to get Teacher Hazel to teach us how to juggle, because we want to increase our brain speed. And it also says here it sharpens your vision. Okay, so if it sharpens your vision, it's going to make your vision better, right?
Right. It's kind of, we say sharpen a pencil. It means make it very pointy, makes it very useful. So sharpen your vision, just being able to track things better, being able to see things better, especially when you're juggling. As we said before, there's a lot of objects moving around, so it makes you see everything.
Okay, and it even tests your sense of balance, which is great. If you're not a very balanced person, in other words, you're walking and you fall down easily, you probably have better balance than that. But maybe, you think of a bike, you need good balance, or certain things, you need good balance. This will help you to have a better sense of balance. And he says, for added fun, try juggling on one foot. So he's making it, and then even close your eyes, right, Josh? So he's making it even more challenging.
Yeah, it takes away the physical sense completely, and you're just focused on your brain, right, in terms of where that object is and how fast it should be coming down to one of your hands. And I did, you mentioned yesterday that I had jumped on YouTube, and you can see a full episode of Hack My Brain online for free. And the one where he learns to juggle, he actually learns from a guy who teaches him juggling knives.
Wow.
Mm. Almost like samurai sword type things.
Wow.
So that would sharpen quite a lot.
That would sharpen your brain, right?
Yeah.
More if you mess up.
Right.
That's a bit much for me, to be honest. But you can start off with something that's not so sharp, like maybe balls.
Oranges.
Oranges. <Yeah. laughs> Well, he says it's great fitness for the brain. We think of fitness, we think of our bodies. we need to get fit, right? It's springtime, and we think of getting outside and getting fit, but our brains also, we need to make sure our brains are fit and we can exercise our brains. And we don't usually think of it in those terms. We do things to help our brains, of course, but we don't make that effort necessarily. And so I think this question, can you make yourself smarter, really draws you in and makes you think, hey, there's some things that I can do to make myself smarter. Let me see what that is. Mm-hmm. You know, and there are many things. And I want to come back to the point that this man here, the host, Todd Sampson, the host of Hack My Brain, is doing some intensive training, we see there in the first paragraph of this article, that you don't have to necessarily do those things. You can go online.
Sure.
You can use some apps to, you know, play some games, right?
You can study Studio Classroom.
Exactly. There are many different ways to improve your brain power. Well, we've learned that juggling is good for you when it comes to keeping your brain fit, but what about some other tests? Let's learn about those in our next reading.
What other tests or tasks were most difficult? I have now discovered that I have a problem with impulse control, so all the games that required me to control my impulses were hard, and I tried to avoid them. Of course, once Dr. Michael Mrzenich discovered this, the amount of impulse games seemed to dramatically increase. He monitored and adapted the training so that I stayed at the edge of my mental capability. Mrzenich is a pioneer in brain plasticity research and author of Softwired, How the New Science of Brain Plasticity Can Change Your Life. He is the scientific consultant for the show.
Okay, well, we learn here about impulse control. And when I see the word impulse, I think of maybe shopping, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're in the mall and you see something and you think, I want that and I'm going to buy that right now, right, Ellen?
Exactly. I think maybe girls have more of a problem with this sometimes. We like to shop a lot. Mm-hmm. It's hard to control your impulses.
We call that an impulse buy.
Yes.
Yes.
Have you been guilty of that, Ellen?
Very much so. Especially recently.
Okay, well, we can maybe learn about that in another article. But, you know, if an impulse is just a sudden feeling that you want something, and then so you just, for example, you buy it right away, or you feel like you need it right now. And we think of instant gratification in our society. People want things right away. And so we see here that Todd, he says he's now discovered that he has a problem with impulse control. Sometimes it's hard to control impulses, right?
That's right. So this is a physical nature of him. It's not that he's out buying everything in the mall. It's just this idea of it was a physical attribute of him and not being able to control an element of his brain. And it says once this doctor that we meet discovered this, he took advantage of that.
Yeah, that Dr. Michael Mrzenich is an expert, actually, and a consultant for the show, we learn here. Well, it says, so all the games that required me to control my impulses were hard. So this was really difficult for him. So he tried to avoid them. We often avoid things that are difficult, but is that always wise, Josh?
No, you're not going to improve that way, right?
That's right. Maybe I don't want to learn Chinese, for example, because it's too difficult, and I just avoid it, which is kind of what I've been doing. Not maybe because it's too difficult, but I'm kind of in the same boat as you, Josh. I did learn Chinese a bit several years ago, but I need to pick that back up as well. And so, anyway, we don't avoid things just because they're difficult. We want to grow. Well, next we talk about the doctor, Dr. Michael Mrzenich. And he discovered this about Todd. And what does he say?
Because he realized that Todd was avoiding these tasks or these games, he obviously, the point of this entire experiment or this entire show is to show that your brain can change, it can increase and become smarter. So Dr. Mrzenich increased the amount of these games to train him.
Okay. And so Todd here is saying what the doctor discovered. He said he discovered that he had this problem of controlling his impulses. So he increased the impulse games. If you have a problem with a certain thing, then you need to address it, right?
So we should just speak Chinese to Brandon all the time.
That's yes. right. Yes.
Go right at his problem.
That's right. You just attack it, right? You don't avoid it. And so that's what they did here. He had more impulse games. And he monitored and adapted the training, the doctor did. And why did he do that, Josh?
Well, it kept him at the edge of Todd's mental capability. And I'm not sure it's good to be on the edge all the time, but in this idea of fitness, you do need to push yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you do the same exercise routine every day, your body will actually just get used to it and it won't do anything. You have to continue to push yourself, mix it up, go farther, go harder.
Well, speaking of physical exercise, I tried something a few weeks ago where I was just exercising with a towel. I had no weights, but I did an exercise where I was, you know, just pulling the towel back and forth. I was on the ground pulling the towel back and forth, and the next day I was so sore. I think I woke up in the middle of the night because my arms were incredibly sore.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, just from a towel, because I guess I had not, you know, worked those muscles in a very long time. And so we do need to try different things, and this also applies to the brain. And so we want to, I like that idea of staying on the edge of your mental capability. You want to go into new areas. You don't want to just be comfortable. And this applies to other parts of life, right? Even in your jobs, right? You can try new things on.
Right. You know, you never want to be satisfied with the status quo. You always want to, you know, give yourself opportunities to gain new skills, you know? So if you've never tried writing, you know, an article, then write the article. Give yourself a chance to try it and move on, yeah.
Yeah, maybe you always skip the sports lessons in the Advanced Studio Classroom magazine. Read those sports articles.
That's right, yes, try something new. I know for me, you know, I like maybe lifestyle or something to do with society, but maybe when it comes to, you know, for example, business, you know, maybe I think, oh, I don't know as much about business, but I can learn about business, right? And so that's why it's good to have different topics. We do have different topics in our magazine. Well, why should we listen to this doctor? Is he credible, Josh?
He certainly is. It says he is the pioneer or a pioneer in brain plasticity research.
Okay, so if you're a pioneer, you're really at the start of something, you're beginning something, right? And that means you probably know a lot about an issue.
Right. You know, pioneer, we might think back to when, for me, the image comes to mind is when, you know, there were people that were moving west in the United States. Mm-hmm. They were the first ones to go out there and to discover or to just explore it. So a pioneer is definitely somebody who is learning new information and is becoming an expert in an area that not many people may want to venture into or know about.
Okay, so funny. Americans always think of that Old West.
Yes.
I wonder what the rest of the world thinks.
That's a good question.
Think of pioneers, because it's not covered wagons.
That's right. Yes, I'm sure.
Oregon
country.
Trail.
Yeah,
right.
Every country has their own, you know, version of pioneers. Mm. You know, if you look back in history. And America is a younger nation, and so I'm sure other nations have even more examples, you know. So we see here that the doctor, Dr. Mrzenik, wrote a book, and he is the scientific consultant for the show. I like that word consultant, and I would like to be a consultant one day. It just sounds like, oh, wow, you have all of this knowledge. You can just transfer to someone, and they just listen to you. What do you think about that, Josh? Would it be nice to be a consultant?
Well, I've been a consultant before, and it is nice. You're right. You fly in, you learn about their problems, you give them some advice, and then you leave. And you don't have to actually implement the thing. But it does require a lot of travel. That is the downside of a consultant's life,
yeah.
Is that you are moving from client to client and company to company, and you're not building roots and really building something as a part of an organization.
But I like this because the show sounds like they're trying to be, of course, very realistic. They have this consultant, and he is a scientific consultant. He knows his stuff. They're not just making things up.
I also like the title of his book, Softwired. We usually hear the reverse of that, right?
Hardwired. Right. Yes. And so it says Softwired, how the new science of brain plasticity can change your life. And that sounds like a good thing. We want our life to change, right? And we have one more question for today to discuss. So let's hear what that question is in our next reading.
What were the most surprising things you learned from the experience? When I was attempting to do the underwater Houdini escape without knowing how to swim, I reached the edge of what I thought was possible. In the first real attempt, I nearly drowned and had to be rescued from the bottom of the 3-meter pool. That did make me think twice about what I was doing. But I really wanted to do this documentary because I had thought it had meaning. It could help others. I found it strange that this brain science revolution was happening right below our eyes, and most people knew nothing about it. Brain plasticity will eventually affect everyone, and we all deserve to know more about it.
Okay, so the question is asked, what was most surprising about all of this, right? And that's a good question to ask because we're going to find out some exciting things. We start off with, Todd says, he was attempting to do the underwater Houdini.
Houdini, for those who don't know, is a illusionist or a performer. We often think of him as somebody as a magician, if we want to simplify that, who did a lot of tricks. He's most famous for escaping from very dangerous places or dangerous situations.
Okay, so here we see that Todd was attempting to do the underwater Houdini escape without knowing how to swim, Josh.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, just to be able to dive into a pool when you don't know how to swim is daring. But to do it chained, shackled, and blindfolded?
That's right.
Sentient being, we would say, right?
Yes.
That's right, because we did learn that on the first day, that he was shackled, chained, and blindfolded, and he doesn't know how to swim. That sounds very scary. I wouldn't recommend that to anyone.
And I mentioned I saw you can see clips of the show on YouTube. I couldn't find this clip on YouTube.
Okay.
I would love to have seen it.
Yeah.
But
maybe you have to actually, you know, watch it on TV.
I think you
or
do.
Or DVD. It's too amazing. Well, he reached the edge of what he thought was possible, and that's understandable in this situation because he can't swim and all of those things that he's shackled and so forth. Well, he says in the first real attempt, he nearly drowned, Ellen.
Yeah, I can't imagine, you know, not knowing how to swim, as Josh mentioned earlier, that you would throw yourself into this pool. And not knowing how to swim, there's often this fear that goes with being in the water. You know, you just constantly think you're going to die. You know, so actually not having your visual or your hands to be able to help you get out. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine what that first attempt was like.
Okay, so he was rescued from the bottom of the 3-meter pool. Thank God. He didn't drown.
3 meters is deep.
Yeah,
it was very, definitely could have died.
Well, this made him think twice. And if you think twice, you think about something again. Maybe, you know, you're thinking about a job and then something happens and you want this certain job and then something happens to make you think twice about it. Maybe you think, oh, I don't want it now because of something that you heard or something happened. So you think twice about it. Well, this made him think twice about what he was doing, Josh.
That's right. Remember, the question was, what was the most surprising thing you learned? I don't think it was that I was going to die doing the show. It wasn't on the top of his list. But when he said what he really wanted to do was help people. And that's what the show was about. So he wasn't going to quit, even though he almost drowned.
Right. He wanted to do this documentary because he thought it had meaning. And that's a really good point, because he's not just doing it for money. He thinks there's meaning involved. And that's good for any of us in life. Whatever we're doing, do something because it has purpose to it. Mm-hmm. And he says here it could help others. And how can it help others? It can help them improve their memory and so forth, right?
Right. It can give, you know, people like us who at the beginning of the show we all admitted that maybe our memories and our brains are not quite as, you know, at their peak performance as they could be. And
Did we say that? I don't remember.
I think, you know, it gives everybody hope that we can improve it, and that, you know, we mentioned a little earlier, I think it was Josh mentioned dementia and these diseases that are affecting the brain more and more, especially as the older population, you know, continues to age, that maybe, you know, if we as a population or as a community are able to train our brains, then it doesn't always have to be like that.
Right. And I think I mentioned earlier that we would talk about dementia and Alzheimer's today. That's actually tomorrow, so you'll have to stay tuned for that. But does everyone really know about this whole idea of making yourself smarter, Josh? What does Todd say here at the end of this paragraph?
Well, he says that it's going to affect everyone eventually. And when something happens eventually, it means you can't avoid it. It's something in your future, whether it's a short ways off or a long ways off, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, and he says this revolution, this brain science revolution, is happening right below our eyes. It's right there, but a lot of us, we don't know about it, and so it's great that we have these kinds of articles so we can get involved and we can hopefully increase our brain power.
And that's not a phrase I had ever heard before, right? Below our eyes?
Yes. We usually say right in front of our eyes, mm-hmm. right? That's a good point. But here it's right below our eyes, right? Okay, so we have one more day. We have more questions that need to be answered. So please come on back tomorrow and join us for day 3 of our science article. Until then, this is Brandon.
Josh.
Ellen.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.